The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
And welcome to the 5 o'clock hour of Bob Burney Live. My TV monitor is working again. Just in time for President Biden's press conference on how to combat crime. I got to hear probably the first 2 minutes of his speech that was supposed to begin at 3:30. It's now 5:07. The press conference began with Attorney General Garland addressing the group, and now the president is speaking right now. And I'm not going to say much because, like I said, I only heard about the first 2 minutes. But in the first 2 minutes, he basically said, it's all because we don't have good enough background checks. That's why we have crime. And we have rifles with high-capacity magazines. Really? Okay, I'm not even going to go there. So we'll see. We'll see what he says, what he suggests, and I will leave my comments until after we actually know what he says. I came across this today. It's interesting that the conference today began with Attorney General Merrick Garland. You probably remember that name. That was the nominee from Barack Obama to the Supreme Court right at the end of Barack Obama's term. And the Republicans blocked it. And, he is now the Attorney General of the United States. All right. William Barr was the last Attorney General under Donald Trump. William Barr gave a fascinating speech to the folks at the Alliance Defending Freedom, the ADF. And you really need to hear some of the things that he had to say in this speech. I'll just give you some excerpts. It was a long speech. I don't have time, obviously, to give it all to you. But he said, quote, "The greatest threat to religious liberty in America today is the increasingly militant and extreme secular progressive climate of our state-run educational system." And then he goes through a history. If you're a longtime listener, and I'm, you know, hey, I am nobody, I'm nothing, but I've been saying this for years. The American educational system has transitioned. No reasonable person who understands anything about history would deny that the American public school system at one time was decidedly Christian. It wasn't neutral. It was Christian, decidedly Christian. I'm talking about all of the public schools in America. Were decidedly pro-Christian. Take a look at the McGuffey readers that were used for years and years, decades and decades. Look at the McGuffey readers. They were filled with Bible verses, Bible stories. Spelling words would be illustrated by using Bible verses, Bible stories. There would be lessons on morality and virtue using Bible stories. There is no contradiction whatsoever that at one time, America's public school system was decidedly Christian. Now, If that was unconstitutional, then how did it last for so many, 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 many years in our public schools? All right. Then, in the late 50s, a transition began where we went from a decidedly Christian school system to a decidedly neutral. That's what the secularists wanted, late 50s, and it really picked up steam in the 60s. In the mid-60s, prominent atheists rose up, demanded that prayer, Bible reading be taken out of the schools, and the Supreme Court said, well, you know, we got to be neutral. We can't favor Christianity, so we're just going to become neutral about all religion, Christianity, and so forth. Now, it wasn't neutral, but it was supposed to be neutral. And then, in the probably the late 80s, 90s, we moved into a period where America's public schools became decidedly antagonistic against Christianity. So we went from a Christian-based public school system to a neutral system to where we are today, where public schools are antagonistic. They are the enemy of Christianity. And that's the point that William Barr made in his speech to the ADF. Quote, "The heavy-handed enforcement of secular progressive orthodoxy through government-run schools is totally incompatible with traditional Christianity and other major religious traditions in our country. In light of this development, we must confront the reality that it may no longer be fair, practical, or even constitutional to provide publicly funded education solely through the vehicle of state-operated schools." And then he goes through the history, how the U.S. government schools became anti-religion. Quote, "In the second phase of American education's history," Barr said, "the left embarked on a relentless campaign of secularization, intent on driving every vestige of traditional religion from the public square. Public schools quickly became the central battleground." This was the era when the Supreme Court cooperated with the political left to eradicate Christianity from publicly supported education, for example, by banning prayer in public schools. Then he goes into the new government-sponsored religion is cultural Marxism. And by the way, Frederick in Columbus, I'm going to come to you. Thank you for your patience. Frederick is holding on the phone. And if you'll be patient, Frederick, I'll come to you. But I really need to finish this. William Barr went on to say, "It's hard to teach that someone ought to behave in a certain way unless you can explain why. Purging schools of any trace of religion created a vacuum by eliminating the explanatory belief system undergirding moral values. Now, we are seeing the attempt to push into the schools an alternative explanatory belief system that is inconsistent with and subversive of the religious worldview. What is taking shape is a full-blown, may I say, systematic subversion of the religious worldview. While the secularists may view each lesson, such as transsexualism, as dealing with a discrete subject, those lessons embody broader ideas that are fundamentally incompatible with the religious viewpoint. Telling school children that they get to choose their gender, not just male or female, but anything else, and that no one else has anything to say about it, does not contradict particular religious teachings on gender and the authority of parents. It is a broadside attack on the very idea of natural law, which is integral to the moral doctrines of a number of religious denominations." And then he goes on. This is the last quote I'll read. "As the Supreme Court has recognized, nothing is more fundamental than the right of parents to pass religious faith to their children. It is monstrous for the state to interfere in that by indoctrinating children into alternative belief systems that are antithetical to those religious beliefs. That is our former attorney general. May his tribe increase. And what he is saying is that America's public education system must be completely redone, reborn into what it once was, or Christian parents are going to have to take their kids out of the schools and either homeschool them or put them in a Christian school where their Christian values can be taught. It's an excellent piece. It really is. Excellent piece by Bill Barr, former U.S. Attorney General Bill Barr. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Frederick, again, I will come to you as soon as we return. My telephone number, 877-BOB-LIVE.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
Well, I listened to a few more minutes of the president's speech on dealing with crime. And so far, and again, I've only heard bits and pieces of it. So far, he has only dealt with gun control. The problem? Guns. Really? Guns are inanimate objects. It is very, very rare for a gun to rise up and shoot someone all by itself. They're almost always held in the hand of a person. But again, I won't say anything more because I don't know what else he said. All right, I promised to go to the phones, and we've got Frederick in Columbus. Frederick, you're on Bob Burney Live. Welcome, and thank you for calling.
Thank you, Bob. How you doing?
I am well, Frederick. I am blessed. Thank you for asking.
It's been a long, long time. I would say Happy New Year. because I haven't talked to you for 6 months now.
Well, I'm glad that you called. Welcome back.
Yes. Thank you. Bob, I have three things to ask of you, if you can tell me. What is America's biggest problem? One, is it liberalism? Two, guns? Three, the Congress?
I don't think either one are our greatest problem. The greatest problem is the heart. We have a country that has strayed dramatically from the principles upon which we were founded. I think that's the greatest problem. The liberals in the Congress, that's a big problem, but not the biggest.
So you can't tell me what is our problem.
Our problem? Well, again, our greatest problem is a spiritual problem. I would say we have a bigger problem in the pulpits than we do in Congress.
I will agree. I agree with you on this one here.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that this moral decadence that's happening right now, you think it's coming from the pulpit, the people? Because if it is religious problem or moral problems, shouldn't the church address this issue?
Absolutely.
Why is the country founded in religion, in our religious beliefs, now in shambles?
Well, I think a great deal, and if you listen to the beginning of my program every day at 3:30, I stress in that opening that our greatest problem is in the pulpits and the pews of America, not in Washington, D.C. Morality... Biblical morality is not being addressed, is not being taught. At our home church, This past Sunday, the pastor preached on holiness. It has been years since I've heard a sermon on holiness, and it was wonderful.
That is true.
Wonderful.
That is true. Because the church has also changed. You hardly hear sin from the pulpit. It's either prosperity, how God goes to bless you, something. It's all about that.
Yeah.
The gospel has also changed. And that is why the whole nation is also changing. Because everybody's after one two things, money. Money, even at the pulpit. All you hear about prosperity, God's going to bless you. So I'm not surprised that the nation is kind of declining right now.
Yeah. Well, the prosperity gospel is incredibly dangerous, and I have dealt with that now for many, many, many years. And the liberal mainline Protestant denominations have left the gospel years ago, but what's even more concerning to me is in evangelicalism, there is almost no call for repentance, almost none. It is a, if the gospel is preached, it is preached in a feel-good sense. Come to Jesus, because if you come to Jesus, you will feel better. Well, if you do come to Jesus, you will feel better, but that's not why you come to Jesus. You come to Jesus because you are a lost, hell-bound sinner, and unless you come to Jesus, you have no hope of eternal life. That's why we come to Jesus, because he paid the price for our sin. Now, the result will be to feel better, but that's not why we come. We don't come to Jesus to get a good feeling.
Well, first time you and I agreed on something.
All right. Well, that's good. Well, don't take 6 months to call again, all right? Frederick,
thank
God
you,
bless
Bob.
You. All right, thanks for calling. I appreciate it. I think we probably agreed on a lot. But I don't know how many of you hear the opening every day at 3:30. It's pre-recorded, and I've used it for a long time. I thought about changing it, and every time I think about changing it, nah, I like it the way it is. The biggest problem in America is not in Congress. It's not with Joe Biden. It's not the liberals in the Senate and the House of Representatives, although they are a problem. The greatest problem is the compromise in the church. There is almost no call to repentance today, to turn from our sins. And if we believe 2 Chronicles 7:14, we love to quote it, but if we really believe that, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, then God says he will hear from heaven and heal our land. But it starts with a spirit of revival among God's people. And that begins with a move of repentance. But we're certainly not hearing much of it today. Some, but not much. All right, quick break. We'll be back.